Welcome back to another episode of The Political Life. Today, we have a very, very good episode. We are coming to you from Denver, Colorado. Actually, two of us are not in Denver, Colorado, but it sounds good. And so, you know, we say that. Caroline Carlson is with the NCSL Foundation, and we are going to hear all about the NCSL conference coming up in Denver. And Caroline, I think you are you actually located in Colorado?
I am, Jim.
Wow.
Yeah, I live outside of Denver.
So you are actually in Denver. You are already in Denver, Colorado. And we also have Jen Stowe of the Carpet and Rug Institute. Jen is on the foundation board and, more importantly, was the first guest that we ever had on this podcast. And it aired in July of 2018. But I said that's when we were in Boston, but Caroline corrected me and said that, no, actually it was in 2017. The podcast sat on the shelf for almost a year before we aired it. And so this will be 4 years to the month when Jen first had you on the podcast. So welcome back.
Thanks. I have an incredible inability to say no. So that's why I was your first guest.
So the idea for this podcast is to talk about NCSL and to talk about the annual summer conference that they have. It is really probably the biggest and most successful of the legislative conferences. Thankfully, it is back live and in person for all of us. It's kind of a critical piece of our business, and I think we all have missed it during the pandemic, and we're so happy to be back seeing people. And so what we thought we would do is just talk about NCSL and the conference and why people attend and what they hope to get out of it. And so, Caroline, I thought I would start with you. Why don't you first tell us about the foundation?
Jim, thank you. It's so nice to be on and with my dear friend, Jen Stowe, too. So, sure. So the NCSL Foundation is really the place for the private sector to interact with NCSL. And we have roughly 230 sponsors. They're corporate groups, associations like Jen's, some other unions and larger nonprofits. And they really enjoy coming to the summit because it is the largest gathering of legislators and legislative staff, and it's the largest bipartisan gathering. So that is really key. And our sponsors come to the meeting and really get to engage and attend really substantive sessions that we're doing on policy and also social events, which are really probably the best part of the summit. We always hear this year after year, no matter how many incredible speakers we have and how many incredible policy sessions, the ability to network and really reconnect and share what's going on in the states with one another is the key reason that people gather each summer at our legislative summit.
And do you spend a large part of the year preparing for the summit?
Yes, we do. That's an easy answer. we had a summit in Tampa last November. So this is not our first summit since the pandemic. It was a much smaller gathering. We had roughly 2,900 attendees. And this summer we're looking forward to, it is an election year. There are primaries scattered throughout the summer months. We are looking forward to having 4,500 attendees, and we're already at, nearly 1,400 legislators and legislative staff that are registered. So we're really excited for that. So, of course, there's a lot of planning because we cover so many different issues. Anything that really the state legislatures are looking at, we're covering.
And Jen, did you attend the summit in November?
I did, in Tampa. I did. And it was certainly smaller than ones that I've attended in the past. I mean, you referenced the Boston Legislative Summit, and I believe that was one of the most highly attended. I think there were close to 9,000 people, if I'm correct, Caroline, at the Boston one in 2017.
Boston has been our high watermark, Jen. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, it was nice to be back in person, but I will say that NCSL did some excellent programming when we couldn't be in person, where they had virtual learning, and it was called Basecamp, kind of to work. The summit is, you know, the full-on conference, but Basecamp was kind of a toned back version that was all done online, which was really effective.
And can I just add that we are continuing the Basecamp virtual offering, and really because we have found that it's a great outreach for us with our members. We have legislative staff really can only attend one meeting per year, you know, that's paid for. And so Basecamp has been a very vital piece of our outreach and engagement with our members.
And explain again, what is Basecamp?
Basecamp is an online, you know, it's a virtual learning environment. But much like our legislative summit, it's on policy issues that are key to state lawmakers and to the private sector.
And so you'll just pick different issues like legalization of cannabis or something like that, and you'll have a policy summit on that, and people can tune in and learn about it, what different states are doing, what are the issues coming up, what has to be considered, something like that.
Exactly. It's a two-day convening, so it's a little shorter than the legislative summit, and it's a lot less expensive because it's online, you know, but we are still able to get top thought leaders because of the online environment. We have found that you don't need as much lead time for calendaring. And of course, there's no, you know, flight, there's no hotel, all of those types of things are not part of the equation.
So obviously your people attend the summit, as you just said, for networking reasons and for educational purposes to get caught up on an issue. And so if the primary purpose is learning about one specific issue, the online Basecamp type of program might be much more efficient throughout the year or as kind of an ongoing.
When we started Basecamp, it was really a substitute for our annual legislative summit in 2020. And what we have found is it's a nice complement. It's certainly not going to ever substitute our face-to-face interactions. The learnings that happen, you know, outside the policy discussion, you know, when you meet in the hallway or you connect over a meal. But it is a nice complement where you can learn even more about an issue. And we also offer professional development. We do that at our summit, but we also do it in the base camp. And I don't know if any of you have been doing those types of things during the pandemic, but, you know, you can certainly get certified in certain areas, and we're pleased that it's something that we started and now we've decided to continue based on really good feedback.
Jen, how much planning or setting up meetings do you do prior to attending the summit?
It varies from year to year. I will say the first year that I went to Legislative Summit was probably 17 years ago, maybe. I've been with the Carpet and Rug Institute now 20 years. And I will say the first time I went, it was literally like drinking from a fire hose. There were, you know, you check in and you get the agenda, which is literally a magazine, and it's hard to know where to start. It was overwhelming. But through the years, I've learned you can look at the agenda online ahead of time. You can kind of map out what are the policy sessions that you want to attend. As you mentioned, and Caroline mentioned, there are a lot of networking opportunities and a lot of after hours activities, receptions and dinners and late night events. And so you kind of have to pace yourself. It's almost like the Olympics of lobbying, because you could go all day. So you kind of have to prepare yourself and pick and choose. And yes, sometimes I do schedule meetings ahead of time if I know that a certain legislator is going to be there. Or I've also done coalition meetings with groups that I'm working with on certain types of legislation when I've been there. So it varies from year to year, but it is really best to kind of look at the agenda ahead of time and plan out what you want to participate in when you get there, because otherwise you can be completely overwhelmed because there's so much great content. It's hard to know where to start.
Yeah, there's so many people. And so for someone like you, who is active in most of the states, you can go to the conference and you can say, okay, these three states are doing something that I'm interested in, and you can try to touch base with legislators or your lobbyists in those states or whomever it may be.
Exactly. And also one of the things that I've actually found great value in was the opportunity to sponsor events for legislative staff, because so many times everybody's concentrating on the legislators and not concentrating on the staff who are, you know, not to say that the legislators aren't the worker bees, but the legislative staff are the folks that are in the weeds. And so for the past, I don't know, what's it been, 4 or 5 years, Caroline, the Carpet and Rug Institute has sponsored the red carpet for the legislative staff, whether it's a breakfast or a lunch, and they bring in a speaker for the legislative staff. And it gives me a chance to meet some of the folks that I might not otherwise come into contact with.
And they may have questions for you as to things that they're facing and hearing in their states.
Exactly. Because I am a one woman shop who covers all 50 states and federal. So CSL is a great tool for that.
And for you and Caroline, it must be nice because you get to see all your friends and colleagues in one place. I mean, Jen, when I've been with you at these conferences, you seem to know everyone. And so it must be nice to get together once a year and see all your colleagues. Or are you seeing them on a regular basis anyways?
Well, NCSL and some of the other legislative groups do have events throughout the year. But this is probably like, you know, maybe it's one side of the family reunion when you go to one event. But when you're at NCSL, it's like both sides of the family, extended generations, everybody is all in one place. So it is like a big reunion. And lobbyists are known for being very social creatures. So we're all in our element at the legislative summit.
And it covers about 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, I know you all are there earlier and stay later, but is the primary conference, Caroline, 3 days?
Yes, Jim. It starts on Monday, August 1st, and it concludes with a social event, a closing event on Wednesday, August 3rd. Jen and I will be there early, though, because we have our executive committee and our foundation board of directors meeting on Sunday, July 31st. And we have a recycling partnership that's on August 4th. So we try to shorten the days, and then pre-conferences and post-conferences are added. And so it is a really robust week.
Come Thursday, you must just collapse.
I know. It's in our hometown, so I think that's a little different. But also it's pressure to make sure that we're hosting everybody in a really good way. So,
and when you hear from your members and legislators, what are some of the things that you hear that they like most about the conference every year?
Well, you know, as Jen talked about, that feeling of a family reunion, mm-hmm. you know, they're really excited to see lawmakers and staff from other states and to reconnect and sort of deepen that friendship and relationship and just learn kind of like, what was your session like? You mm-hmm. hear that all the time.
Yeah.
What were some of those key things that you did? And, you know, how are you spending your ARPA dollars and all of those things just come up. And they like to compare and contrast and see what was effective. So.
Well, and some of the most difficult parts, is you have so many different panels going on at the same time. I would think it's hard to choose which one to attend. I mean, maybe for you, Jen, with one specific issue and industry, it may be a little bit easier. But I would imagine for the people who work for, you know, maybe lobbying firms or whatever, there's so many great panels going on at the same time. It is sometimes difficult to choose.
I think you're probably right. And I feel like there are companies and associations that can handle it that have more staff. You know, I know, for example, Walmart has a large number of attendees, so they can cover, they also have a large number of issues, I'm sure, but they can certainly, you know, spread out their staff to cover a number of sessions, where me as a one-stop shop, I have to really be picky and choosy and decide, you know, which session is going to be most impact, which of the sessions will be most impactful and meaningful for me. And sometimes it's not the exact issue that I'm working on, but something kind of parallel or in the same realm that I'll choose based on that, because our issues are fairly specific based on the industry that I represent.
And Caroline, how long have you been with NCSL?
I knew you were going to ask that question. I started almost when Jen did. So I've been at NCSL 21 years.
Wow. So obviously you like it.
Absolutely. Love this work and really love working with our sponsors and partner organizations. That's the best part of the job.
And how has it changed over the 20 years?
Oh, good question. You know, so much has almost stayed the same, really. Mm-hmm. You know, we're working on different issues, but we come back to issues too. Mm-hmm. So I think what we've all learned is how important relationships are.
Yeah.
And staying connected and making sure that we're checking in with one another and seeing how people are doing and how can you assist and help. And my role is really connecting our sponsors to our policy staff and to lawmakers. And so I'm a connector and I love that. And I really enjoy knowing that our sponsors are getting what they need out of the connection with NCSL. And so the summit is a really big place where we do that, but we also do things throughout the year. And maybe those small things, you know, matter even more. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple that does therapy called the Gottmans, and that one of their things is small things often. And I think that NCSL does that kind of on a large scale for its members, because there are a number of things that you can participate in throughout the year. And I'm going to answer the question you asked Caroline too, because I've been a member of NCSL for, I think, 17 or 18 years at least. And I think the large programs haven't changed. I think the bipartisanship has become more appreciated as we've become more divisive, certainly. And I feel like all of the, as Caroline said, or small things often have kind of complemented what the big events are throughout the year as well. So I feel like it's only gotten better and stronger. And I will, in light of full disclosure, Caroline and I are very close personal friends outside of work, but I don't know anybody who works as hard as Caroline does. She is responsive to the foundation members more than she needs to be. She works hard to make sure everyone is well taken care of. And that is one of the real benefits of being in NCSL. You feel as a financially contributing foundation member, you feel valued. And Caroline and her staff are very good at making the private sector feel valued.
Well, it's I was thinking, Caroline, as you were describing the conference, how stressful it must be for you, because you essentially have all of these clients, members who are there. Some may have a lot of needs and a lot of questions, and you may have someone like Jen who doesn't need much handholding or help because they've been there and they know what they're doing. I can't imagine the stress that you and your colleagues are under at this conference. With the one that we were talking about earlier, I think it was in LA, I think there were 7,000 people there. So even when you don't hit your peak year of 9,000, and I love the fact that only 2,900 attended Tampa, that 2,900 is a small conference. Most organizations would love to have a 2,900 people attend their biggest conference. But anyways, with 7,000 people typically attending a conference, I can't imagine the stress that you and your coworkers are under.
Well, I think, you know, our board of directors helps with that too. Mm-hmm. And we have a mentor program in place. And this is especially important for new sponsors coming into the foundation, because as Jen expressed, it does feel like an overwhelming group. And where do you start and how do you meet people? And so the mentor program allows a board, you know, a director to bring on a new sponsor and walk them around and introduce them to folks and just help a little bit make that large meeting a little bit smaller and more approachable. You know, so much of the work is done before we hit the meeting, but things always come up And so my mantra is, we'll figure this out and we're going to, you know, do whatever we can to hopefully fix anything before it happens. But certainly if something happens on site, we are working hard to minimize any problems that occur. And everything really works out in the end.
Well, as a participant, it seems, you know, obviously we don't see how the sausage is made, but man, it looks perfect when it seems so well organized and the events are so first class. It's really well done. And the mentor-mentee program, that's a great idea because it is overwhelming for new people.
Well, it really is. And we have over 30 new sponsors this year. Wow. And some of them we've never met.
Wow.
So and we want to make sure that they feel kind of that welcoming feeling that Jen was talking about. Mm-hmm. That's so important to us, to make sure that they are getting their needs met, that they feel like their investment in NCSL is worth their time and their dollar, and that they've got something to show for it, because oftentimes, you know, they're pushing for the budget, but they may not be the decision maker on mm-hmm. the budget. So they've got to be able to go back to their boss and have real clear rewards for that investment.
Jen, have you participated in the mentor-mentee program?
I have.
You've been yeah. a mentor to many, many people?
A few, yeah. I'm always willing to do it, and I think Caroline knows that. You know, for almost any organization that I participate in, I feel strongly that people who are anchored there already have a responsibility to teach people that are coming up behind us the values and, you know, what works and what doesn't work and who you need to know and the way to get the best benefits from. I mean, you're a steward of your company's money. And for us, we have a really limited budget. I mean, our budget probably compared to some of the folks is minimal. And so when we're making a contribution to an organization, my members want to see the return on investment. And I feel like the mentoring helps other people be able to take that value back to their company too. Like they're not just floating aimlessly, mm-hmm. you know.
And where is next year's conference?
We're going to be in Indianapolis. Wow. So Indianapolis was our 2020 conference. And so we will be there in 2023. And we're in Louisville, Kentucky in 2024. And Kentucky's already very excited and started planning events. And so I know we're going to be back at Churchill Downs for those that were there in 2000.
Oh, that was so fun.
I think it was
2010. And I still have the hat that I made as one of the activities and that I wore then to Churchill Downs for the event.
That's such a great event. Yeah. They gave us a card so we could bet on horse races.
Yeah.
Pretend Monopoly money, right? But it was still a lot of fun.
It's always fun to spend other people's money.
Did you win?
Not at all.
And is there a common question that you get asked by new members or new people attending?
I would say the question I get asked by folks that are attending the summit is, how do you navigate? It's so overwhelming. And like I said earlier, look at the agenda, plan ahead, don't wait until you get there. You know, kind of print it out at home. I don't know that anybody does that anymore, prints things out in circles, what they're going to go to. But one of the other things that also makes it easier is in the past, NCSL has had apps that are associated with the meeting, and it makes it really easy to navigate because you go through that ahead of time, check off the sessions you want to attend, and then that's what's going to show up on your phone, and everybody has a phone. So, you know, that's how you know that the program is good, when people aren't sitting in the room on their phones, when they're actually listening to the speakers.
In fact, we don't do a printed program anymore. It's all on the app. So you can go through and see which sessions, and it comes right up on your calendar. So you know where to go. Yeah.
If you don't print it out online, because it is online, you can, you know, do your
school. I think that's a couple hundred pages though, Jen.
It was a book.
Well, the app is very helpful. And it also makes it easier to navigate what panels are going on in real time. It's very helpful. Well, we can wrap it up, and you know, I am looking forward to it, and I'm sure you guys are, or maybe Jen is. Caroline's probably looking forward to it, but also looking forward to it being done. You probably then have like a week off, and then get ramped up for
everybody takes vacation after it for sure.
I bet.
No, but really, we are so excited to welcome everybody to Denver.
Yeah. Summer. Oh, and I should
just
give
really
a plug.
Appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. And I should give a plug too. So Tim Story, the head of NCSL, has his own podcast called Storytime. Is that the
name? Storytime.
Yeah. So we'll put that in the show notes. People can check that out. We'll have to have Tim on at some point, maybe after the conference. And then you also have another podcast, correct?
We have Our American States.
Right, right. That is a very, very good podcast, and people should check
Thank
that out.
You.
Yeah, really well done. Consistently one of the top podcasts, and it's been around for a while. So we'll put that in the show notes too. So Caroline and Jen, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for giving us a preview of the upcoming NCSL Summit. And for everyone listening out there, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. You can sign up for our email at our website, thepoliticallife.net. Thank you for coming on, and we look forward to seeing you both in Denver.
See you in Denver. Thank you, Jim.
All right, and everybody have a good week. See you next week.